Day 222. Ezra 10, 1 through 44. While Ezra prayed and made this confession, weeping and throwing himself to the ground in front of the temple of God, a large crowd of people from Israel, men, women, and children, gathered and wept bitterly with him. Then Shechaniah, son of Jehiel, a descendant of Elam, said to Ezra, "We confess that we have been unfaithful to our God, for we have married these pagan women of the land. But there is hope for Israel in spite of this. Let us now make a covenant with our God to divorce our pagan wives and to send them away with their children. We will follow the advice given by you and by the others who respect the commands of our God. We will obey the law of God. Take courage, for it is your duty to tell us how to proceed in setting things straight, and we will cooperate fully." So Ezra stood up and demanded that the leaders of the priests and the Levites and all the people of Israel swear that they would do as Shechaniah had said. And they all swore a solemn oath. Then Ezra left the front of the temple of God and went to the room of Jehohanan, son of Eliashib. He spent the night there, but he did not eat any food or drink. He was still in mourning because of the unfaithfulness of the returned exiles. Then a proclamation was made throughout Judah and Jerusalem that all the returned exiles should come to Jerusalem. Those who failed to come within 3 days would, if the leaders or elders so decided, forfeit all their property and be expelled from the assembly of the exiles. Within 3 days, all the people of Judah and Benjamin had gathered in Jerusalem. This took place on December 19th, and all the people were sitting in the square before the temple of God. They were trembling both because of the seriousness of the matter and because it was raining. Then Ezra the priest stood and said to them, "You have sinned, for you have married pagan women. Now we are even more deeply under condemnation than we were before. Confess your sin to the Lord, the God of your ancestors, and do what he demands. Separate yourselves from the people of the land and from these pagan women." Then the whole assembly raised their voices and answered, "Yes, you are right. We must do as you say." Then they added, "This isn't something that can be done in a day or two, for many of us are involved in this extremely sinful affair. This is the rainy season, so we cannot stay out here much longer. Let the leaders act on behalf of all of us. Everyone who has a pagan wife will come at the scheduled time with the leaders and judges of his city, so that the fierce anger of our God may be turned away from us concerning this affair. Only Jonathan, son of Asael, and Jahaziel, son of Tikva, opposed this course of action, and Meshullam and Sabethai, the Israelites, supported them." So this was the plan that they followed. Ezra selected leaders to represent their families, designating each of the representatives by name. On December 29th, the leaders sat down to investigate the matter. By March 27th of the next year, they had finished dealing with all the men who had married pagan wives. These are the priests who married pagan wives: from the family of Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, and his brothers, Maaseiah, Eliezer, Jarib, and Gedaliah. They vowed to divorce their wives, and each acknowledged their guilt by offering a ram as a guilt offering. From the family of Immer, Hanani and Zebediah. From the family of Harim, Maaseiah, Elijah, Shemaiah, Jeliel, and Uzziah. From the family of Pashur, Elaniah, Maaseiah, Ishmael, Nethaliel, Jozabad, and Elash. These are the Levites who were guilty: Jozabad, Shemiel, Kaleah, Pathaliah, Judah, and Eliezer. This is the singer who was guilty: Eliashib. These are the gatekeepers who were guilty: Shalem, Telem, and Uri. These are the other people of Israel who were guilty: from the family of Parosh, Ramiah, Isaiah, Milkijah, Majamin, Eleazar, Hashabiah, and Benaniah. from the family of Elam, Mattaniah, Zechariah, Jehiel, Abdi, Jeremoth, and Elijah, from the family of Zattu, Elonaiah, Elishib, Mattaniah, Jeremoth, Zabad, and Azazai, from the family of Babiah, Jehoniah, Hananiah, Zabai, and Athlai, from the family of Benai, Meshullam, Malach, Adonai, Jashub, Sheel, and Jermoth, from the family of Pahath Moab, Abna, Kelal, Benaniah, Maaseiah, Mattaniah, Bezalel, Benai, and Manasseh, from the family of Harim, Eliezer, Ishijah, Melchijah, Shemaiah, Shimeon, Benjamin, Maluk, and Shemariah, from the family of Hashem, Mataneh, Matata, Zabad, Eliphelet, Jeremiah, Manasseh, and Shimei, from the family of Benai, Madai, Amram, Uil, Benaniah, Bediah, Kilahai, Vaniah, Miramoth, Elishib, Mattaniah, Mattaniah, and Jashu, from the family of Buni, Shimei, Shalemiah, Nathan, Adaiah, Macnabiah, Shashiah, Sherai, Azareel, Shalemiah, Shemaiah, Shalom, Amariah, and Joseph. From the family of Nebo, Jeel, Mattathiah, Zabad, Zabina, Jediah, Joel, and Benaniah. Each of these men had a pagan wife, and some even had children by these wives. 1 Corinthians 6:1-20. When you have something against another Christian, why do you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter, instead of taking it to other Christians to decide who is right? Don't you know that someday we Christians are going to judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide these little things among yourselves? Don't you realize that we Christians will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disagreements here on earth. If you have legal disputes about such matters, why do you go to outside judges who are not respected by the church? I am saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these arguments? But instead, one Christian sues another, right in front of unbelievers. To have such lawsuits at all is a real defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? Why not let yourselves be cheated? But instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and cheat even your own Christian brothers and sisters. Don't you know that those who do wrong will have no share in the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, who are idol worshippers, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexuals, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, abusers, and swindlers, none of these will have a share in the kingdom of God. There was a time when some of you were just like that, but now your sins have been washed away, and you have been set apart for God. You have been made right with God because of what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God has done for you. You may say, I am allowed to do anything, but I reply, not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say, food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But our bodies were not made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise our bodies from the dead by His marvelous power, just as He raised our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that our bodies are actual parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which belongs to Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never! And don't you know that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say, the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Run away from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Or don't you know that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Proverbs 21, verse 3. The Lord is more pleased when we do what is just and right than when we give him sacrifices.